All right, welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast. I'm Mike Shera. I'm hosting today, and I've got one of my fellow elders and pastors at Grace Church here, Brian Bush, with me today. How you doing, Brian?
Doing well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, doing great. We're excited about this podcast episode today. There's this question that came up from a friend of ours that I think is a very thoughtful question, and I think a very pertinent question for today. And the question is this: when is an appropriate time for the young men to call out or to question the teaching of the older men? Okay. And I think that, and there's some follow-ups. We're going to basically, what we'll do is we'll follow a line of reasoning that follows the questions that were asked to me by a younger man in our church. Again, very thoughtful man that is not trying to stir anybody up or going out correcting people harshly or anything like that, but really had a sincere question. And I think it's one that we should address. And I think it will be helpful to our listeners. Okay. So scripturally, I'm going to take us to 1 Timothy 5. And Brian, why don't you read that? It's going to be 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2.
Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So younger men may be calling out or questioning the teaching of older men. Okay. Now, with that in mind, and here's my first answer, I'd say, as soon as we recognize it, you're a younger man or relatively younger man, according to what you're hearing from some other men in the church, and maybe you're getting some advice that you're thinking, I don't think that advice is that wise, or it's maybe not rooted in scripture, or it's not accurately handling scripture. What do I do? I think, when is it appropriate? So the first question, when is it appropriate for the young man to call out or question the teaching of the older man or the older men? I say, whether it's in the aggregate, let's just say it's individual, okay? All right. As soon as you recognize it, I think you check your own heart for any wrong motives and, you know, confess your own sin issues before God and one another. We need to speak the truth lovingly. You love the truth, loving people enough to tell the truth, and just respectfully, humbly, and gently, and boldly bring it up.
And I think that's true whether we're talking about a biblical issue or just a practical issue. But I think you may address them a little differently. If someone's teaching something that you question, is that rooted in Scripture? You still need to check your heart and not rebuke harshly, not challenge, but question in an appropriate way, like you would talk to a daddy. But even if it's not that, even if it's like you're getting some practical advice or counsel, I think we'd still do the same thing.
All right, good. Well, let's move on. So then the young man says this: as I'm sure you know, there has been a weakening of the evangelical West in a few key issues over the last century. Understatement, right? Areas like feminism, abortion, roles in the church, gender, submission, substance use or abuse, modesty, etc. This, I would believe, has happened primarily because the older men dropped the ball in teaching the younger men, thus allowing this kind of abuse of the Word of God. So let's go ahead and just address maybe his premise. Let's do it from a fair vantage point. But is the reason this happened primarily because the older men dropped the ball in teaching the younger men?
That would be a hard one. Don't know to what extent the teaching has happened, the instruction, the admonition, the encouragement, and it's not been received or it's been rejected. If it's been rejected, do you still blame the older men for not teaching it? It's probably a combination of both. Mm-hmm. Some lack of teaching, some lack of receiving and living it out.
Okay. So here was my initial answer. Okay. And I'm tracking with you here. Okay. When people let go of the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, all hell breaks loose. Okay. And I believe, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, it says something significant that doesn't get brought up very often. It talks about the man of lawlessness. And there's a little comment that says, and you know what restrains him now. So the church knew in that moment what was restraining the man of lawlessness. My take on that is the Holy Spirit indwelling the word-saturated church. Okay, so when it talks about what restrains the man of lawlessness now, it's the Holy Spirit working the word of God out in the hearts of the church that restrains evil. Okay, but we also know from 2 Timothy 3, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So I wouldn't put it solely on the church or on the older men in the church, okay? And I think that's kind of what you were getting at a little bit. But if there, now, but I would say at the same time, if there are no pockets of righteousness and biblical goodness clearly seen in the church, something's drastically wrong.
Sure, true. And it's, I suppose one of the things I've appreciated about Grace Church is it's not just dads to sons, older men to younger men. My son has benefited greatly by the instruction and godly example of other men here. And I hope and pray that the conversations I've had with other younger boys, now younger men, have likewise proved helpful in their lives, that they see it from dad at home and they see it from other men in the church.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let me continue on kind of in the discussion. What I did is I took his long, thoughtful question and comments and then answered each one kind of in pieces. Here was his next statement, which again, I think is a good statement, okay? I believe that we need more young men rising up and casting off the lethargy and complacency of some of the older men's teachings, starting first in the home and then in the church. To which I replied, amen, 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 and amen, amen. Okay? And I would say that every generation has to deal with that.
True. There's nothing about that statement that you could take issue with. Young men do need to cast off laziness and lethargy. They do need to step up and be saturated with the Word of God, whether that's saturating themselves, whether it's getting from other older men, however they get it. This is a great thing for them, for the church. I just don't know if it's necessarily a blame that we can put on the lack of teaching or the lack of examples in older men generally.
Okay. Now I'm going to push on it a little bit because I agree with what you just said, but at the same time, I'm like, well, hold on a minute. He did say, I believe we need more young men rising up and casting off the lethargy and complacency of some of the older men's teachings. Now, he's talking about just in general, not just at Grace Church, not just, okay, but starting first in the home and then in the church. I have heard people get really wacky advice from people. Sometimes people I know, sometimes people that I don't know, or maybe it came from me, you know? So it's like, I think we should at least look in a mirror, okay, and go, okay. So let me tell you what I said with regard to the answer, okay? After I said, amen, 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 amen. And after I said that every generation has to deal with it, I said this. Any sincere Bible-drenched believer ought to be thinking about those things on an ongoing basis, not judgmentally, but realistically. Sometimes we stretch beyond the limits of what the Bible prescribes and commands, and sometimes we go along with what it prohibits and condemns. And we must be in community with one another and reminding each other so that we don't fall down in these ways.
Good response. Yeah.
And then I said, and speaking of Titus chapter 2, the older need the younger to remind them and the younger need the older to remind them. It's the way God designed it, as Paul told Timothy. And again, now we're back to our verse that you read at the beginning. Appeal to the older men as fathers, the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters. You know? So let me throw in one other thing, okay? So another thing I would say is that oftentimes younger men, wanting to respect older men, sometimes will not tell the older men what they really should tell them. But they should tell them. And I think it's okay if a younger man is being respectful to say, look, I know I'm younger and I want to respect you and I do, but I really feel like I need to say something to you about this or that.
Wonderful. I can think of an example in my own life where a younger man came to me and pointed some things out that I had been blind to. Came in a very respectful way and pointed some things out, and we had a good discussion, and it was very helpful for both of us. So I think younger men coming in a right attitude to an older man and being respectful, pointing things out, is very helpful for both the younger man and the older man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so there's a little bit more. We're coming close to the end here, but there's a couple more things I want to bring up and then see what you have to say about it as well. One of the things I'm thinking about with this whole context is sometimes we don't read things right, right? Other times it's pretty clear. We see it and it's like we call it right. You know, like if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck. But sometimes we mistake something and call it something that it's not. But there's times also that older men don't say what they need to say to younger men because of fear and intimidation. What do you think about that? Like older men not speaking up to younger men because of the older man's fear or the older man's feeling they're intimidated because they don't know if the younger guy wants to listen to him.
Possible. I'm sure that does happen. My gut feeling is that older guys are more likely to talk that way to younger guys than peers. Mm-hmm. That some of the older guys may not talk to other older guys and call them out for fear of the response. They may be less likely to call out the younger guys, at least out of fear. They may not call out the younger guys and say what they need to say for some other reasons, apathy or not related to me, or I have no right to speak into their life. But I think you're right. The biblical encouragement is for older men to, in a loving way, speak truth to the younger men. Younger men, in a loving way, speak biblical truth to the older men. And we're all in the same body. We're in the same family.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it opens up so many things, doesn't it? We could be going in so many different directions. And right now I'm thinking, okay, which direction do I go? Let me say this. I think sometimes people just want to be liked and they don't want to risk awkwardness. And another thing I think is there are some young and old guys. Now, this is going to be a hot button one, okay? I think there's some young and old guys that follow guys that should not be followed. Like, I think there are some young and old guys that follow men that should not be followed. And what I'm talking about are Christian leaders that are not humble and they make outlandish statements. And I think there are some older and younger guys that latch onto guys like that. And I think there's some older and younger guys that are isolated and they may be just listening to guys like that. And then they're not, you know, mixing in. Now, the guy that brought this question, I would not put him in that category whatsoever. This guy is a humble guy. He's involved with a lot of relationships, older and younger, and a very thoughtful guy. In fact, interestingly, when I gave him this answer, he says, thanks so much. You know, it's helpful and all that. And he goes, it's a difficult dynamic with the whole respect, submission, and humility aspect. And I greatly appreciate your words and all of that. And he says, and I get it. We do need to not be intimidated to speak the truth in love. And then he asked this question: who would you say are some Christian leaders we should not let influence us? Which, by the way, we'll be addressing that next time on the podcast. So, hey, Brian, thanks for joining me today. We're going to stop there.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And folks, thank you for joining us today for the Loving Truth podcast. And yes, next time, who are some Christian leaders we should not let influence us? All right. God bless you all. Have a great day.